and welcome to Pimpin' Positivity Podcast. I am Alethea Crimmins. You may know me as Miss underscore HDIC, where I come to motivate, empower, and inspire. Y'all, I can pee on me. I'm so excited. Like, I'm so excited because I have the wonderful Alexis Michelle that has graced this podcast. Oh, with their presence. Listen, if y'all do not know who Alexis Michelle is, where the fuck have you been? That's all, like, where have you been? What have you been doing with your life? How do you not know? Alexis was one of the divas from RuPaul's season 9 Drag Race. Baby, Google who Alexis Michelle is and get your life, okay? Just get your life. Hi, Alexis.
Hello. I can't believe I'm here. And I'm still, I got to tell you, I can't believe
that you're here.
I'm still in disbelief that, like, you knew who I was. Because the first time I messaged you, I was like, here is this beautiful, bright, shining source of positivity in a world that needs that so desperately. And when you responded that you knew who I was very humbled and starstruck because your star is shining very brightly and it's so needed. And so I was, when you asked me to come join you on your podcast, it was like, really? Well, yes.
Yes.
Anytime. please. But yes, I would say as a word of caution, If you do Google me and look me up on the internet, you know, see what you find. Don't believe everything you see.
Of course. I'm a big, like, people are going to always have something to say, but that does not define who you are. And I always want to get to know the person before I read the story. Because I always want to know the person and who they are. And all I know is Alexis. Like, I don't know any of the other things. I don't care. Because all I know is what I see in you. And the minute I was like, that bitch right there. That bitch right there. I was like, yes. Like, you gave me life. The entire seat. Like, you gave me life. You gave me life. So, and,
you know, you mentioned season 9 of Drag Race, and, like, it was a long time coming, that dream. Like, I've been auditioning to get on Drag Race since the second season. So I saw season 1 and I started auditioning for season 2. And so it felt like, you know, when I say it took 8 years, it wasn't just 8 auditions, because it really did feel like the span of a year of sort of applying yourself to. I always said, like, whenever anybody asked me about auditioning for the show and, like, oh, should I audition this and that? I would say, yeah, go for it, because it's a really interesting way to measure kind of where you're at and the growth that you've been through in a year. So putting the audition together every year was the process of at least a few weeks, if not like a solid month of time, because there was so much content that they used to ask us for. But it really was kind of a measurement of all the drag you'd done and all the growth you'd done and all the work you'd done for the year. Cause each year they kind of wanted to see something new and different. They didn't want to see the same stuff that they'd seen before. So it really was like 8 years of my life toward that goal before I got on season 9, and then season 9 came and it, you know, opened up my world in a lot of incredible ways. But as we all know, like, nothing comes for free, and it has, you know, it has its burdens too. And I knew sort of going back into that frying pan, when I was approached about doing All Stars, that, like, I was opening myself up again to a world of opportunity, but potentially some more challenges. And, And so I knew that, but I went ahead and I did it again. And so, you know, between season 9 of regular Drag Race and then All Stars 8, you know, it's been a long road and a big journey. And I can't believe with how long the show's been on now. I mean, since 2009.
I know. Like, that's crazy. So I just heard you say that it was a span of 8 years. I am always telling people not to give up. I'm always telling people to keep going, even when it's hard, even when one door closes, there's always a window of opportunity. What made you, what was the driving force that made you keep going?
So because
you could have just been like, okay, well, you know what, second season, third season, like I'm done. Why weren't you done?
You know, the first time, I guess the people who were in charge of casting, I guess they took notice of me on some degree, on some level, because they actually called me up the next year and said, we want you to apply again. And that was really the thing that led me to apply the second time. And I think probably it lit a fire under me that made me feel like, oh, they saw, they noticed. That means I can taste it even more. It's even more possible. Now, the casting that I went through, you know, it spanned several years. There were years where I heard nothing, mm-hmm. no sense of encouragement, or even that they had seen the tape, even though of course they had, they see all the tapes. And some years there was more encouragement. Some years it was like, oh, someone called to ask me a question or clarify something in my application or whatever. But I think, loosely put, from the beginning, when I first saw the first season of Drag Race, I had been out of college a couple years. And I had been doing drag in when I was young, and I had been doing it in high school, and I had been doing it in college, but I also was rather secretive about it because, well, for multiple reasons. I wasn't sure like what my family would think about it. Mm-hmm. 'Cause I had played dress up when I was young, and I was very blessed. I had a mother who allowed that kind of expression at a young age.
That is amazing.
Amazing. But it went away. Not her support necessarily, but something got into my head where I stopped doing that. I don't know exactly what got into my head that made me stop doing that, but mm-hmm. I remember things shifted. Like, I was, you know, playing sports with the other boys, and I was doing, you know, I was not playing dress up anymore. And I don't know what change happened in me as a child that brought that about, or what sort of consciousness brought that about. But come like junior high, middle school, it started to want to like come out again. It was like something within that had somehow been suppressed that somehow wanted to come out again. And so as it started to come out again at that young age, I was not sure how it would be received. You know, I thought, oh, well, I played dress up as a little one. Like, I don't know if it's going to be seen with the same acceptance now. And so even in high school, and even as I was in college, I was pretty under wraps about it. Also, I was pursuing theater. I was getting a degree in theater, and the track was move back to New York, where I'm from originally, move back to New York, pursue the theater, get an agent, get on Broadway. And so, and at that time, especially, there was not much space for this kind of gender expression.
So where did Alexis come from? Where, what was it? Because I know with a lot of people, a lot of queens that I speak to, they were like, you know what? When I'm in drag, it's almost like my superpower. Like I could be a totally different person. I found myself through drag. Was it like when was the shift whenever Alexander said, I want to be Alexis, like this is who I am? What was that moment that was like your, I am gonna be a bad bitch and her name is Alexis Michelle?
The funny thing is, so that I've been playing dress up as a little one, and then it started to resurface, but I didn't have like an identity or a name to my knowledge. I probably did have an identity. I wasn't in touch with it yet.
Okay. But,
around that time where I was still really kind of secretive about it, because I didn't want my parents to know, I didn't want it to impact the theater career that I was pursuing. Mm-hmm. Around that time, it had boiled up within me and I had to express it. I had to express it. And so I was trying to find the outlet. I was trying to find the spaces and the places to do it in. And so I started going around to the bars in New York. And I didn't know how you did it. Now I know, like you get up in your drag, you go out, you do the open nights, you meet your community, you meet other queens that you respect. And that's really how you do it. But I didn't know that as a teenager.
Mm-hmm.
So I was going around to these bar managers handing out like a photocopied picture of me in makeup and a wig with a list of songs that I knew how to perform. And I was like, I want to perform in your venue. And a couple of them invited me, a couple of them let me. And I ended up like my first two public and paid performances were at two of the most like legendary, you know, bars in the village, at the Monster Bar and at the Stonewall Inn.
How was that moment? Like, how was that when you finally got the chance to just, like, how was that moment? What was that?
It was incredibly liberating. It was incredibly liberating. But as I was pursuing those moments, I knew that I needed a name. That there still was no name. And, you know, I knew about other queens with these funny names, like Head of Lettuce, you know, and I was like, oh, the name in itself is a punchline and I need something like that. And I just couldn't think of something that spoke to me that felt, this feels right, this sits right with like the girl that's inside. And so I feminized my given name. My given name is Alex Michaels, and I feminized it to Alexis Michelle. And at the time, I was like, oh, you know, whatever. Like, that's what I'll use now. Maybe I'll change it at some point. And what was so interesting about that, and I did not know this then, and I did not know this for a while, I would say probably close to 10 years after that, because that when I gave myself this name and I started performing in these first few times was probably I think this year makes 21 years ago.
Oh wow.
And I did not know then that Alexis, that this drag thing that I wanted to do was not somebody else, not a different person, not something performative, but rather a part of me and the part of me that feels more female or more femme. And I did not know that then, but I came to learn it a little bit. When I say like almost 10 years later, I remember making that Drag Race tape and saying in the audition, she's my female side. Because I'd heard some people say, it's a different person. It's my alter ego. And that that never felt like my thing.
So she was always you.
Yeah. And I would say, like, you know, it had to be, this is the name it had to be because it's my female side. And maybe the volume is turned up or maybe the look is turned up, but the voice is still the same. Mm-hmm. And so I discovered that, I would say, you know, maybe 8 to 9 years into, after being giving myself that name, Alexis Michelle, that that's the name it had to be. But even longer than that, even as late as being on season 9 of Drag Race and knowing my sisters from season 9, because I have said many times that I feel season 9 of Drag Race was a particularly fluid cast. We had people who already identified as trans. Mm-hmm. We had people Correct. Who previously lived as trans and detransitioned. We had people who had not transitioned yet who have since. We have mm-hmm. people who had been detransitioned and have transitioned again. So there was a rather large number of us who in some way were either trans or non-binary or identified with some kind of gender fluidity. And it really, perhaps more than anything, being a part of that group and sharing our stories and experiences really highlighted to me my own fluidity and my own understanding of my identity.
How was it growing up for you knowing, okay, I know that I'm in this body. I know how I look on the outside, but inside, that's just not me. That's just not how was it for you in school? Because I have talked to so many teens. I've talked to so many males that want to do what you're doing now, but are scared out of their minds because they don't know how the world is going to perceive them. They've been bullied relentlessly. And inside, it's like, I am a woman, but my outside doesn't match my inside. I don't know how to let this out. How was it for you growing up? Were you bullied? How did you handle that?
So I'm about to touch on multiple things, and I know things that we can share together that we relate to because I follow you and I know the journeys that you're on too. So
yes.
Interesting. I was brought up in New York City in what you would, you know, by all means consider a pretty liberal kind of setting and school. And yet, with my age and when I grew up, like, it's not to say that, like, people came after me for being effeminate or for being gay, but there was still plenty of homophobia. But the struggle that I dealt with first and foremost through my childhood and through a lot of my life, as it related to my body, was my size, was being overweight.
Really?
So interestingly, because I wasn't in touch, when I was a kid, we didn't have words like gender fluid or non-binary or
correct.
And there were, of course, trans people. And I, at a certain age, I became aware of trans people, but I didn't know when I was young that any of that was even an option. And while I know that kids today face similar struggle of not knowing if they will be embraced or or, you know, the horrible alternatives. Of course, all of those alternatives still exist. But what is beautiful about today is that kids know that there are other options.
Yes.
I didn't have any of that language when I was a kid. So what I...
Neither did I.
Right? And I mean, this. So the struggles I felt in my physical body as a child were not so much about trying to accept myself being male or female. They were trying to accept this body that was full, that was pudgy, that had extra weight on it.
Listen, oh.
I can't tell you. I remember still what it feels like, because I'm reminded of it even now, what it felt like to sit or lay down like in a bathtub as a kid and look down and see like the fat on my body and the way that I felt I was taught to hate that.
Same here. My God, yes.
So being comfortable in my skin was so much more tied up in that when I was young. I don't think I grasped that this duality of gender was also probably in there. And in many ways now, I wish that I could just say, hey, you know what? I'm a proud trans woman, because in some ways that is more binary. And in some ways, even though the experience of trans women is an extremely complicated and difficult one, in some ways I wish I could say that. And some of my trans sisters know that I feel that way. But the truth is, I do land somewhere more in the middle, and that has left me in the past with what felt like a push and pull and a struggle. And it's gotten easier as I've become more understanding about that within me. It's become easier to be like, that's okay. Then you are someone who possesses both of these energies and identities.
I felt the same way growing up, because I was always told a lot was to do with my size. I was always told that I should not like myself at this size. I should not like myself looking like this. I'm not pretty this way. Like pretty girls don't look like you. Pretty girls look a certain type of way. And I was also not allowed to be gay. Like I was not allowed to like girls. Like, what? You know, like you are going to hell. And I was like, what? So much so that I almost brainwashed myself to be with men. I said, this is what I'm supposed to do. This is what I have to do. This is what is expected of me. So I need to do this. And I brainwashed myself for the longest time that this is the version that I need to be. And the outcome was my three beautiful kids that I don't regret at all. But it's like, that wasn't me. That wasn't who I am. Still now, and people look at me and think, oh my gosh, she just has it all together. And she just, even though I'm losing the weight, I still suffer with body dysmorphia, like really bad, really bad. Like I can't wrap my mind around the fact that I'm no longer that 3X. Like I can't wrap my mind that I'm no longer that size. Like I need to size down. Why am I still buying these bigger clothes? Because that's still what I see when I look in the mirror.
Only people only people who have been overweight, especially from a young age, mm-hmm. I think understand that mentality that we carry with us probably forever. Because I am now at the smallest or lowest weight I've been at in many years. This is the weight I got down to when I filmed All Stars, and then proceeded to put some back on and come back down. But I am very close to being the smallest I've been since 2016 when I filmed Drag Race the first time. And even then, I was significantly heavier than I had been. There was a period in around 2008, 2009, 2010, where I did a real sort of big change to my lifestyle and my diet and my habits. And I changed my metabolism and my digestion. And I got into a physical body that I never thought was possible for myself. I never thought I would look like that, be that size, be that thin. And even then, because that right now where I'm at now is probably 35, 40 pounds heavier than that. And even then, I still felt like that fat child.
Yes.
That didn't love their body.
It's just hard to get away from that. And people look at me and say, oh my gosh, like you've lost so much weight and I'm like, are you looking at me? Like it's me. And even though I know I see the numbers on the scale, I see my clothes are smaller. Like this is a large. Large. What do you mean? Like, <I'm> not, come on, large twins. And I was I know I went from a 3X to a large, and I'm still like finding things about my body that's like, oh, you can do this instead of me, which I do. I always celebrate myself and say, okay, girl, like you need to realize that you in a large now, girl, you in a large, but it's still hard to look at yourself and see past that old version of yourself.
I don't know if this happened to you, but so I mentioned this period where I got real, real trim in a way that I never thought I would be. When I got down to that part of my body, there was no choice. There needed to be new clothes. So I ended up buying, I had kind of a whole new wardrobe to fit this trim self. And I remember getting rid of all the clothes that were too big. And I said, never again. I'm never going to mm-hmm. wear those again. Well, life happened and mm-hmm. this happened. And I then suddenly all those skinny clothes, none of those fit anymore. So yeah. I don't know about you, but I have this thing, and it's true for a lot of my drag things, because my drag things, whether I'm buying them off the rack in rare occasion or whether they're custom, you know, they tend to be more costly or special or, you know, individual catered to me. So I've had this fear when it comes to letting go of some of those pieces.
Oh my God, yes. Yes. Oh my God, yes.
Yeah.
Oh.
But I have tried to just in general become less attached to things in all areas of life, but with physical things, because for several reasons. When it comes to the drag now, even if it's not a fit thing, if it's something that I wore for a particular purpose or occasion, or maybe it's too big or it's too small, whatever, I try to become less attached to it and say, like, that had its moment. It served its purpose. It had its time. Now is the time for me to, you know, depart with it, let it go to someone else, so that I can make space for newness in my life. And so I've tried to do that with physical things, but it's more than physical. It's about creating fresh space in your mind.
That was a nugget for everybody listening, that we need to get rid of the old things in our lives to make space for the new things in our lives. I've had to do that several times with not only physical things, with people. With people. I had to get rid of the people that were just cluttering, just taking up space in my life, and make room for new things, new people in my life.
And sometimes it's making room for new ideas or new views on things, because I follow you and I watch your videos online and I listen to your pod, and I've heard you talk about how it is an active choice for each person to choose positivity.
It is.
And when you've had negative messaging, whether it was from people that you knew or people in your life, or maybe it was just society negatively messaging in your head, it takes a lot to reprogram and to get rid of that and to let go of that to make space for the positivity. And that's still, I mean, I think we're all charged with that as a daily journey, practice, exercise, because there's so much. It may seem easier to listen to the negativity, but in the end, if you can make space and choose the positivity, that does end up being easier or less taxing on you.
It does. And that's why I'm a firm believer in saying things out loud. I have to say things out loud because I have to let my voice be louder and stronger than all of the negative voices that are in my head. And I need to also remind myself that those voices were never my voice. Right. Those voices do not belong to me. They belong to my mom. They belong to my nanny. They belong to past friends. But that was never my voice. It was always somebody else that told me who I was. Mm-hmm. So now I have to tell myself who I am. What was the moment that Alexis said, I'm not going to worry about what anybody else says I am. I am Alexis. This is me. I'm putting everybody else's voice out. This is who I am.
I can't say that it's been a time or a moment, because, as I said, it's an ongoing journey. It's an ongoing task. But you mentioned before about how people said that, you know, they use drag as this other person, another thing, and that they found themselves. So in addition to having a lot of my own identity revealed to me through the art of drag, what I learned, or what I've gained from these years spent doing drag, is initially what feels like putting on your superpower or your armor, your coat of armor, as I've called it a lot. 'Cause it can feel like it strengthens you or fortifies you, because it does mm-hmm. feel like this barrier. There's this literal layer of makeup and, you know, these multiple layers of hair and, you know, body shaping, contorting, you know, padding and shapewear and corsetry. And then on top of that, all of the gorgeousness and the glamour and the glitz and the jewelry and the nails, all of that can end up really making you feel like that superhero. But the more you tap into drag in an authentic way that feels like something that's coming from the inside that you're expressing on the outside, the more that you can take that feeling with you when you take it off.
Oh.
So for me, I can't really point to one moment where I went, forget all that. This is who I am. It has been a slow and steady process over those, you know, more than 21 years now. I think as a little child, when I dressed up, I was just tapping into expressing a part of myself I didn't even know was there. But when I started doing it with more intention and more consciousness, little by little, I understood that I was expressing my authentic self. And the more that you express your authentic self, and the more comfortable you get expressing your authentic self, the less that noise, those other voices, those other noises, the less weight and importance that they have within your mind and your heart, which at the end of the day, you've talked about needing to, you know, feel good with the person you're looking at in the mirror.
Yes.
And the more that you can tune out the unnecessary noise and listen to that authentic self, the more that you can feel good with that person in the mirror.
Is that the message that you would give any other boy that's feeling like I'm lost right now? Like, I don't know who I am. I know what I want to be, 'cause quiet as it's kept, I want to be a drag queen. Like, I really, really do. I want so badly. Like, yo, you have no idea. I want to be a drag queen so bad. What would you tell a little boy who is struggling right now and battling within himself? But this is who I want to be. But this is who they tell me I should be. What would you tell him?
I'm always, I know what the message is. I know what the correct message is, but I always have to be understanding and respectful of the fact that not everybody has the same space or the same safety that I was afforded to figure this out. So the answer is, be yourself, mm-hmm. Find a way to express yourself, because the alternative is sometimes death. The alternative, if you stifle that truth within you, you are probably headed down a road of misery that may lead to some sort of figurative, if not a literal death. Because living outside of your truth, living without your authenticity, can bring about such suffering that can lead to, you know, people's ultimate demise. So I always say, like, live that truth, find a way to express that truth, but I have to acknowledge and be respectful to everyone's experience. I've been messaged by young men in the Middle East who are in countries where they would be physically harmed, possibly put to death, just for expressing sexuality, let alone any kind of alternative gender expression. So as I've tried to advise those people, and as I would advise anyone struggling who has some sense or perhaps knows that they are in a space or around people that will not let them express themselves safely. To those people, first of all, you have all of my compassion.
Definitely, yes.
And I say, eventually, it may not come until you are of a certain age and you have the free agency to go find a safe space, but there is a safe space for you eventually, even if it's not right now in the space that you are in. But it's ultimately the message of the people from the Trevor Project, which is that it gets better, is that there is a space, there is a community for you. There are people that will love and accept, even if you're not in that space right now. And so perhaps there are quieter ways, ways that you can get in touch with that self-expression on a personal level until you have a safe space to express it. And the optimist in me has always said, if you express yourself, if you live authentically, you have the potential to change minds and hearts. And I do believe that. I do believe that there are.
With every fiber in my being, yes.
There are people who can be brought around by seeing someone living happily and authentically. They can say, oh, there's nothing wrong with that, actually. I've been taught there was something wrong with that, but actually there's not something wrong with that, because look at how pure, look at how true that person is. That can't be bad. So I do think that there is some potential to teach people, to bring people around. But I also, we have to acknowledge that there are some people who won't see the light. And
that is such a horrible thing. That's such a horrible thing.
It's heartbreaking, and it's heartbreaking to the people that want to show themselves authentically, but live in spaces or amongst people where the people won't see the light of truth. And so it's to those people that I say, find ways to express yourself safely. Don't put yourself in danger.
Thank you for living out loud. Thank you for being who you are. Thank you for being that light and showing other people this is me. Living out loud, being who I am, unapologetically. Like, you have no idea. Like, I look at you, and every time I see you, like, I'm scrolling and I'm looking, and I'm just like, oh my gosh, like, how amazing it is. How amazing it is to just live out loud and just be your authentic self and live the life that you want and not have to worry about what anybody else says about you, what anybody else thinks about you. Just be you, because being you is enough in whatever capacity that is. Being you is enough. And being you is doing some wonderful things for you, because you have some amazing things coming up just for being Alexis Michelle. I feel like I have to say your name like that. Alexis Michelle. I feel like I have to be extra when I say it.
Yeah.
So well, what do you have?
I'll tell you about what I have, but I have to take a minute, because you, first of all, you hit the nail on the head with what keeps me going a lot, because there are times, as you know, being in the public eye, it comes with its challenges.
Of course.
But what keeps it going for me, and maybe this is something you can relate to, is knowing that there are people impacted just by you being yourself and living your truth out loud. Like that fortifies people, especially young people, perhaps the people we were just talking about who are in these spaces that are not safe. And you've been that to me. Even someone who you see as someone living out loud that you scroll past and you say, oh, they're doing it. Well, we've all got our struggles. And for me, there's always been a connection between, I've always felt a connection with women of color, and the connection between drag artists and queer women of color is a very special one to me. Mm-hmm. And actually, I think on two separate occasions, it was two different queer women of color who sent me your videos first. And when they knew that I was in Time to Struggle, and it was like a video where you would say, stop.
Yeah.
Now look at yourself. Now look at yourself in the mirror.
Yes. Oh,
because you're fat. And there is something, you have this very special gift, this quality that people use the word disarming. And I like never, you know, like fully understood what that meant, but you are that. Because you can literally make somebody stop in their tracks, take them out of those noises, those thoughts, and get present with the beauty of the person right in front of them. And so I just want to say, like, thank you for being
You're so welcome.
For being the person that I can be for people. Thank you for being that person for many people, including myself. And it really is... It really is that thing that we're both talking about mutually that like keeps me going. And yes, so like I am excited about stuff that I've got going on and that I've got coming up. This past month I had my return to Joe's Pub, which is a legendary music and comedy and cabaret space at the Public Theater here in the city. And I did a couple sold out nights there last June during Pride. And I just had my return in March. And now I'm gearing up for another two shows during Pride.
I'm so excited. Oh, my gosh. And this is in New York?
This is in New York City in the Village. June 25th at 7 and June 26th at 9:30. It's during Pride Week. Everybody will be here, all the festivities. And you come see me in the middle of the week. Yes, you have to come. I will get you tickets.
I need to be there.
And so, yes, I'm doing two shows at Joe's Pub, June 25th and 26th. I'll also be bringing the show before then in May to Reno and to Santa Rosa, California. So watch my
come show. On, Alexis. Come on. And, you better be booked and busy. You better be booked and busy, Alexis. Come on.
And this is not official yet, so I don't even know if I should be talking about it. But the truth is, I have always wanted to create a space to talk in this way, to raise up queer voices. And
yes.
I have a very close friend who's another... queer person of color who we are hoping to create a space like this. And so we hope that you will come join us once we create
yes. Oh my gosh. Yes. Oh my gosh. Yes.
Follow you and love you.
Oh, I'm so excited. I'm so excited. Okay. But can I get in drag? Like you're going to have to like show me how to get in drag because I want to be beat. Like,
first of all,
fierce. Yes.
Anything you want, you from me, you can have it. I will be your fairy godmother. But, girl, you gotta know you're already turning it. You're already serving it. Drag is for everybody and for any expression that you want drag to
yes.
have. And you're already fabulous on the daily.
Okay, so I need everybody to just understand what the fuck Alexis just told me. Alexis told me that I am a fucking drag queen. Okay.
Hello.
So I just want y'all. I just want y'all to hear it. Okay. Say it again.
You're doing drag, baby, every day. Listen, you know what? I know it's like that old adage from RuPaul that like we're born naked and the rest is drag, but every day we choose our armor for the day. And look, you
yes.
and me, we've both got our pastel shirt on and we got our gloss and we got our curls. And it's like that is the costume for the day.
It is. Cause I choose every day to wake up and be what? Fabulous. That is my choice. That is my choice. I'm actually going to be in New York the beginning of May. So I need to meet you and like hug you and just get some of Alexis in my life. 100%. So 10 years from now, where do you see Alexis Michelle?
Oh, Lord. Well,
not oh, Lord.
I've always said that I don't necessarily want to keep all of that going if it's not still beautiful.
it so will be. Unless, hello.
Unless nature and the doctors have been very kind to me, I don't know. I don't know that I'll still be smearing it on as heavy as I do now. We'll see. Ultimately, it's so funny. So I, you know, the alternative route for queer people or queer artists is essentially a freelance lifestyle or an independent contractor lifestyle. And while the things that we get to do are very fulfilling and very rewarding, they are not necessarily steady or consistent. So I do hunger for, at some point in my life, something that is a little bit more sort of steady and consistent. And perhaps that means moving out of the big city and living somewhere with a little peace and quiet where the dogs
really
can run around. Yeah, I have always fantasized about that. And the older I get, the more I fantasize about it. So,
child, you don't look like day over 30. Stop it. And see, Alexis talking about, oh, I'm packing this on. She ain't got nothing but some blush and some gloss. That's it. Blush and gloss, because they're like skin is skinning. The skin is skinning right now. Like, you look luscious.
I always say, like, with like how advanced makeup is and the products that are out there and the tutorials that are online, if I had known, like if I'd had the resources with makeup that these kids have now, when I was like, you know, 10, 20 years ago, oh my God, it would have been over. It would have been over.
It would have been over for you bitches. It would have been over for you bitches. Done. Over. So before we close, I like to play a little game. It's called Minute to Win It. I will ask you a question. The first thing that comes to your mind.
Okay.
He's like, sip. The first thing that comes to your mind, just don't even think about it. Okay, so if you could eat one thing for the rest of your life, what would it be?
Pizza.
Really? Oh.
Anything that's bread related, and then when you combine it with cheese, yeah.
If you were any type of like animal, what would you be?
Dog.
I want to be like a lion or something, so I could be like.
I relate.
Oh.
George.
Oh, hello, hello, George. Oh.
Yeah.
If you had like one superpower, what would that be and why?
To fly?
Really? I want to be invisible because I want to be nosy.
I don't know if you've ever dreamed of it in your dreams where you could fly, but of any sort of, you know, superpower, that's always been the thing that I'm like, oh, I can dream it, and I've dreamed it more times than any other. And just that feeling of being able to push off the ground and go up into the sky and look around and see, I don't know, it's always
been well, child, my like dreams must not be like that because mine is always of me falling. It's like I'm falling, and then right before I hit the ground, I wake up like, oh my God. So maybe I can't fly. That's because I want to be nosy. So let me be invisible because I want to see shit. I want to see everything. So tell the people where they can follow you, all this good stuff. Tell the people where they can find, wait, let me do it right, Alexis Michelle.
Keep up with me on Instagram, on TikTok. I'm at Alexis Michelle Official. And stay tuned. I'm also on Facebook as Alexis Michelle. And I have my profile and I have my artist page. And stay tuned to all those socials for my cabaret dates and my shows. And there's a link in my bio right now on Alexis Michelle Official on Instagram to get tickets to my Joe's Pub shows June 25th and 26th. So you can grab them right now.
Oh, I was so excited. Thank you so much, Alexis, for being here. Like, you have literally made my day. Like, I was so excited that I'm even talking to you right now.
It's 100% mutual. I still am pinching myself a bit. And until we meet in the flesh.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Please like, share, comment, tell us what you think. And if you want more, follow MS_HDIC or look for Pimpin' Positivity on YouTube. And of course, keep being great in their face. Be fabulous, honey. Live in your fabulosity. And as always, you have a good day on purpose. You're welcome.